This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. To talk to Brian, Jeff, or Vic, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Jaguars This Week is also sponsored by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and the Jacksonville Transportation Group. This is your exclusive home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. From Jaguars Central inside the stadium, Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Rob Johnson. Have you seen anybody wear a visor like that since Rob Johnson was here?
Robbo would do it.
You're going with the cow look tonight.
I got it working, don't I?
It is
upside down. It works for you. It does.
I got the upside down visor, and that Rob Johnson used to wear it like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You could be a California guy.
No way.
I knew that would. I knew that would light him up.
Got him started fast. Joe Fortunato is here wearing his Tasmanian Devil Flyer shirt. 3-2 the count. Loggy walks in about an hour ago.
Flyers win tonight.
About an hour ago,
I think the Blackhawks.
That's not what he said.
The door,
proclaiming his love for the Blackhawks. All of a sudden,
I just love hockey, and I do that to get Joe's goat.
But this just happened today, though.
You know, and I'm a fan of more hockey.
So I'm really a Flyers fan.
Yeah, I mean tonight I'm going to be rooting for the Flyers, and then in Game 7 I'll be rooting for the Blackhawks.
Not what you said before.
Well, I mean the city of Chicago needs something. I mean, politically speaking, they've got zero, so they need to have something athletically, right?
Here we go.
Politically speaking, they have everything. Hey, Joe, you can vote 6 or 7 times.
Joe, didn't the Penguins win games 6 and 7 last year? I think
was
they did.
6 and 7?
Yeah, I think they came back from Detroit after they got humiliated and then won the last two to win it all.
It's tough. It's going to be hard.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, I know that they won game 7 ever. In Detroit, so that's what the Flyers would have to do. They would have to win Game 7 in Chicago.
Hey, so far, the home teams have won every game.
Is Kate Smith still alive?
No.
Oh, no.
But she sings. She sings before
they
every
still
game,
play
though.
Play the record.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Video.
You got to dig her up
for
tonight.
And they usually have a co-singer.
They better.
They usually have a co-singer.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's
the last time they had a co-singer.
Lauren Hart. She's Gene Hart's daughter. If you remember Gene Hart, did the Flyers games for years and years and years. His daughter is a singer, so she kind of sings with Kate Smith. They go back and forth, verse for verse.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was good. As long as it's good, entertaining hockey, and I'm a hockey fan.
Kate Smith passed away.
Thank you, Brian.
June 17th, 1986, so 24 years ago next week.
Wow.
A long time.
It just seems like yesterday.
He's got to give her the win.
How old was she?
She was born in 1907, so she was 79.
Wow. You know, I'm sure most of the people who are listening
don't know the story.
She was famous for
God Bless America,
during World War II.
Right.
I mean, she sold bonds and everything else. I mean, she was a great support mechanism stateside during World War II. But the thing that I'll never forget about Kate Smith, I still think it may be, it's one of the highlights, one of the sports highlights, one of the great moments in sports I've ever seen and witnessed, and I witnessed it on TV, was at the height of the Russian Red Army's fame, hockey team.
Was this the 76 Olympics?
76 okay. Olympics. They are...
You say they're still pretty big in 80.
Right. I'm sorry, this is 80. This is 80. This is before the... I think it's a 76.
Ah, but we go back earlier this year when they were
No, I know it's 76. I know because I know the apartment I was in when I saw it. So this would have been 76. The Russian Red Army was the best hockey team in the world. They were killing everybody. And on their way to the Montreal Olympics, they did a tour of the United States.
76 was Innsbruck. Montreal was the Summer Games.
I'm sorry. You're right. Innsbruck. During that winter leading up to the Olympics, they did a tour of the United States and they played NHL teams, one of whom was one of their opponents was the Philadelphia Flyers in Philadelphia. And the Flyers and Philadelphia were ready for them. And they brought out Kate Smith, and they only brought out Kate Smith live in
She was the closer.
Yes, sir. She was the closer. Loggy, she was the closer. And they brought her out for God Bless America, wheeled her out on a platform with a guy and a piano, and she belted out "God Bless America." And I'm telling you, the place sang along at the top of their lungs. It was explosive, and it ended with "Let's go Flyers," and that transitioned to Dave Schultz and Bobby Clark and the Broad Street Boys beating the Russian Red Army team bloody on the boards, to the point that the Russian coach took them off the ice. Took them off the ice, and the Flyers won the game. But, yep. I mean, they beat
the
snot out.
Here's the closer.
That's it.
I'm recording this on an iPhone again.
That's beautiful, Joe. You're the best.
This is from the Spectrum in 1976.
This is it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really an iPhone, but...
Can you advance it to the end?
Joe can do anything.
He can.
Except for...
It seems all right, let it go.
Except for willing the Flyers.
But the Russian Red Army team was dominant. I mean, they just destroyed. They had beaten the Rangers... a few weeks earlier, or a few days earlier, by an embarrassing score. So the Flyers, they had them in their sights when they came to town, and they just beat them to a pulp.
She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1981 because of this song, which is the highest civilian award that the government gives.
She raised so much money for the United States war effort by the sale of bonds, war bonds. But you won't have her going for you tonight, Joe.
No. Well, she'll sing.
The record that put the record on?
The video.
Obviously.
They got a little video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we got to get a little Let's Go Flyers at the end here.
Let's Go Flyers. Oh, it's the Stanley Cup that year. That's not that game.
Okay.
All right. Good stuff.
355-NFL-1. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, 355-6351. And fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jags.com. Sign up for the Jaguars Got Skills Rookie Day, sponsored by RPM Automotive and Sargento. Our friends at RPM Automotive will be doing free AC Delco 40-point inspections on cars and trucks from 8 till 11 that morning during the event. That's at Jaguars.com/FanZone. For the Jaguars Got Skills Rookie Day. Let's take a quick break. Come back and resume this program with some football conversation for you. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Rolling right along here, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman, Joe, and Linda Fortunato both in the house this evening, and you can join us at 355-NFL-1. Did she like the mention? Did that little brownie point there? Cool. All right, Linda's in the house.
Hey, can I get a little plug about an event that we had last night? Brian, you've been a part of it in years past, and it was at Morton Steakhouse, and it was called, or is called, the Morton's Medicine and Miracles event. And it was a fantastic event. And Vic, I know you don't know a whole lot about it, but it benefits, raises money for the Children's Miracle Network. Mm-hmm. They sell tables and chairs.
Celebrity waiters.
And the celebrity waiters are the players and the coaches. And Mark Duffner served as the chairman this year. In years past, it's been Mike Tice and then Mike Smith. And Mark Duffner did a great job.
Joe D. Canellis did it 1 year, too.
Joe D. did it 1 year. This year, there's a new director of Children's Miracle Network, and her name is Carrie Solomon, is a former Jaguars employee. She did a wonderful job organizing it. But lots of coaches were there. Offensive-wise, you had Mike Shula, Andy Heck, Ron Heller. On the defensive side of the ball, you had Mel Tucker, Corey, the defensive backs coach, Duff. Just so many coaches. The head coach was there, Jack Del Rio, and players, you know, you had Gerard and Reggie Nelson and Gerald Alexander, Eben Britton. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, it was a fantastic event, raised a lot of money. I mean, what a it's great concept because, I mean, here you are, you're having a great dinner, and your waiter is one of the Jaguars or one of the Jaguars coaches.
Yeah,
that's cool stuff.
This is the most community-conscious team in the league. Nobody.
No question.
No team in the league. I can't think of any team anywhere in any league, college or pro, that places as much demand on its players that they involve themselves in the community in these types of efforts.
I think, and I go back to the early days when they were bringing, before there were players even here, and remember what they said, and that is that in a small town like this, small city, you must be integrally, irreplaceably interconnected with the people who are in your stadium, and Wayne and Dolores wrote it into contracts.
Well, and I remember back in 95, I mean, we were always out in the community doing different things. And I think the team of this year and last, I think, has surpassed the number of community appearances that we did back in 95 and 96.
You had a bunch of good guys.
And I don't want to get away from this without mentioning that there was a very special guest there last night, and his name is Alex Ross, and he was the special kid. He was the miracle child who was there last night, who suffered a gunshot wound to the head in January, and he was there. With his mom, and just to give you an idea about how community conscious, you know, and I'm not saying this, you know, to make the Jaguars look good. I mean, they're doing it by themselves.
You're thanking them.
I'm thanking them because it was a tremendous event. And Wayne and Dolores Weaver, who have donated more than, I think, $600,000 to this community already this year, were there last night. They bought a table. The 10th event, they were there.
I don't remember them being
there.
They
have never been there. This is they've always supported it.
They'll be there in the future.
This year, they had their own table. They actually gave away in the live auction for two people to sit in the owner's suite for a game. And Dolores gave me permission to sell two if it got to a certain level. Mm-hmm. Two were sold, and those two things alone raised a significant amount of money for that event. So, I mean, big thank you to all the players and the staff and the owners, Wayne and Dolores. Mackie was there. Great, great event.
How many millions of dollars have the Weavers donated to United Way?
Oh,
I don't know. It's a lot.
It's in the millions. Yeah, it's in the millions. And they seeded something called the Alexis de Tocqueville Society, which de Tocqueville folks give at least $10,000 annually. And what they said is if you'll give $6,500 and then slowly build over 5 years to $10,000, they'll make up the difference, $3,500, $2,500, $1,500, $1,000. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I probably won't be getting in that de Tocqueville thing. You know?
Yeah, well, the amount of money they give away is staggering.
But I wanted to just, you know, to let people know, because a lot of times, you know, you meet people and say, well, you know, the Jaguars are never out in the community. Folks, I mean, this team does it more and does it better than any team in the league that I know of.
Not to mention the fact that Tom Coughlin just had his J Fund event, so I mean, you know, they put a pretty good touch on this community, you know, them, I mean, from a giving standpoint, you know, the amount of money that Jaguars related events raise is significant, and you take that away from any town, and you're going to be hard pressed to replace it.
Yeah,
I think that event, from what I understand, and they're still kind of adding up the numbers, but the events in the past, Mike Smith was the one who really helped this thing to become what it is, because when it first started, it was the celebrity waiters were staff from the hospital, you know, doctors from and heads of certain departments.
And all the folks who bought tickets to sit at the tables were doctors.
Were
and
doctors
nurses.
And, you know, people from departments.
Sports
whatever. and Mike Smith really turned it into a Jaguars event. And Mike Tyson, Joe D, and Mark Duffner, they have all kind of really taken ownership of this event. And just also a quick great job, way to go, to Ryan Robinson, who helped also get everybody organized for this event. Truly nothing like it in the National Football League. So, folks, if you ever want to come to it, it's available to the public. You just got to buy a seat. Mm-hmm. Contact the Children's Miracle Network, and hopefully we'll see you there next year.
355-NFL-1 now. 355-6351.
All right, let's talk football.
All right. Well, let's just grab Trevor and to grab him from Montreal to start the segment off. Hello, Trevor. How are you tonight?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm stoked. We just booked our plane tickets, so we're going to be flying down, me and three friends, for the Monday Nighter. It's against the Titans, right, on the 18th?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're stoked. When can you buy tickets for that?
Not yet. They're still trying to sell all the tickets on a season ticket basis. I would imagine sometime as the preseason nears, there'll be an announcement about
generally,
a,
that's late July.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that's right around the
generally
time
late time July. That an announcement as to when single game tickets will go on sale. I'm going to guess that that's going to happen again this year. I don't think they're going to get them all sold on a season ticket basis. I really wish they would, because when that day comes, then your franchise is considered to be stable.
Okay. Well, my football question was just what would you expect the offensive line to be to start the season? I know the tackles are set, but what do you project will happen in the middle?
Jeff, take a guess at the starting lineup on for the opening game.
You know, it would really be a guess.
Go ahead. Do it. I'm going to do one.
It would be a guess. If I had to guess,
Okay, you got Eugene Monroe left tackle and Evan Britton at right tackle.
Yeah.
Give me your inside three. Center. Now,
that's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
that's kind of where, you know, because if it's Brad Meester, does Uche go to a backup or is he a starter?
Give me your
Is
three.
Justin Smiley a starter? Is Vince Monowai a starter? I mean, how about Keenan Forney?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that really is going to have to play itself out. I mean, that's really
–
I couldn't even guess. If I had to pick, I could give you the year after this year. You know what I mean?
You're basing on contracts.
You know, I would think that, in 2011, you probably would see Justin Smiley, Uche Nwaneri, and Vince Monowai. I believe that Vince Monowai will be in the lineup. But the other two, I don't know.
I think Forney and Smiley are going to be the guards.
They might be, but who's your center?
I think that Brad Meester and Uche Nwaneri are really going to compete for that position.
That's not an answer.
It's not.
See, but I mean, that's kind of where we're at. We don't know.
I'm leaning toward Nwaneri because of the same reason that I was leaning toward Evan Britton and not Tony Paschos at this time last year, even though I was told that Britton was way behind Tony Paschos. I know Gene Smith. I know that the eye is on and toward youth.
Well, and if I were a coach, I would have a tendency to lean towards Brad Meester this year. And the reason I say that is the one issue that Uche has had so far in his career mm-hmm. has been consistency.
Inconsistency.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He has been inconsistent. He has not been consistent, and a lot of times it's a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the center position, you can't afford to be inconsistent. You have to be sharp. You're the captain of the offensive line. And I think that unless Uche just totally knocks their socks off, I think coaches have a comfort level with a veteran guy such as Brad Meester. And maybe next year it would be time for Uche.
In terms of, I know it's tough to say, in terms of ability, has Nwaneri closed the gap or has Meester fallen back? Because of age.
Well, what I'm hearing about
issues.
Uche is that he moves pretty well. If you want a guy who can get out in front of the ball, if you want a guy who can pull, who can trap.
Oh, he's very talented.
You know, that he can do that stuff. Whereas Brad's at that point now where he's got to play in a phone booth.
Yeah, that's about right. He's not going to get out and, center pool, although he's done it a little bit, but he's not going to wow anybody. Mm-hmm. But he's consistent.
He's going to make all the reads.
He's going to make all the reads. He's going to make all the calls. Uche does not have experience in that. And at times, Uche, when he has played as a starter, consistent starter, mm-hmm. you look at a play and you go, what in the world was he doing? He took a wrong step mm-hmm. or he thought he had help here and he didn't. You can't do that when you're a center.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the bedrock of that group. So we'll see.
Well, he's going into a year now, 3-4 years into this thing, where it's time to fish or cut bait.
Well,
him,
I mean,
right?
Coming out of the draft, everybody's saying, boy, that group, they really wanted to address it. It's a weakness. I didn't see that because of Keenan Forney, but now all of a sudden it's a crowded group.
Right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break here as we reach the bottom of the hour. Season ticket holders, for each person you refer who then purchases season tickets, you'll be entered into the Super Bowl referral sweepstakes. You could win a trip to this year's Super Bowl, which is, by the way, in the brand-new stadium in Dallas. Dial 633-2000 for more information and more Jaguars This Week coming up after the news here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Rolling right along here, Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman is here, Joe and Linda Fortunato, and you as well. Again, folks, you season ticket holders who are out there, for every person that you send to the Jaguars, a referral, so to speak, and if you're in sales, you know all about the power of referrals. Anyway, they buy season tickets, you're entered into the Super Bowl referral sweepstakes, and you can win a trip now, not just tickets, but a trip to the Super Bowl in Dallas, 904-633-2000 for more information. All right, so back to football, mm-hmm. Jaguars in particular, OTAs, whatever they are, just keep rolling right along. Mm-hmm. And we were talking during the break about guys on the defensive line, since we were talking about the offensive line, and you came right to Larry Hart.
Yeah.
And you're always loath to talk about those guys in OTAs, the big guys.
Yeah. Because
so I was surprised when you went right to him.
You can make a fool of yourself really, really, very, very easily talking about players who have to play well with pads on based on how they perform in practices with pads off. But, I mean, it's what we do at this time of the year. We talk about practices that don't have, in which the players don't have pads on. If the OTAs are for wide receivers, you know, Clarence Denmark's made a splash and Mike Sims Walker is showing that he really is the number one receiver on this team. Blah, 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 blah. So you don't usually look to the defensive side of the ball to find guys who are standouts in OTAs. But if there is a guy, and there is a guy, and his name is Larry Hart, he's the rookie from Central Arkansas. He and I'm going to turn this over to Jeff here in a second, because Jeff is also verbalized this to me on the field. He thinks that he's been very impressive in OTAs. Very quietly, in fact, so quietly that they're not saying it out loud, the Jaguars believe they may have found someone very special.
Yeah, and he looks good. He's got great get-off, you know, pass rushing terms, that, you know, getting off on snap of the ball, great quickness in the first couple steps. He is very strong for being an undersized type of guy. I think he's a guy that's going to have a big impact, and they need an outside rusher.
Gene Smith is really big on Larry Hart's the strength in his hips, his ability to play with leverage, his ability to be much stronger than his size would suggest. Gene Smith believes that Larry Hart can be an every downs player. The concern that anyone would normally have with a Larry Hart, which is to say a pass rush specialist, is you get him on the field and the other guys go no huddle and keep him on the field and then run at him.
I wouldn't be worried about that.
That's exactly what Gene Smith agrees with you on.
Yeah,
that.
He plays bigger than what he is.
Yes, and they I can tell.
But we'll
I
see.
We'll see because the pads aren't on, and the Charles Sharons and the Chad Owens of the world have certainly disappeared. But this guy is not a wide receiver, and he is off the ball before anybody. And there is a breeze you feel when he runs by, and there is some girth to him, and there's an undeniable power in his gait, and there's no question in my mind the Jaguars think they've found something very special.
Loggy, where do you play him? Is he a left end like Robert Mathis?
No, he's a right end.
Okay,
he's a Dwight Freeney open end. Let him utilize his speed. You know, mm-hmm. You know, being a shorter guy, I mean, you can't sit there and expect him to play head up on a tackle and deal with a double team of a tight end and a tackle at the same time stopping the run.
Right.
I mean, you can kind of protect guys like that a little bit. But he clearly has talent. He is giving the tackles fits.
He could be a difference maker for this team. No, there's a chance that he could be not a difference maker for this team. I'm just saying, based on what people are seeing out there, he has the potential to be a game changer especially for a team that got 14 sacks last year.
That number stroke preposterous.
Well, it is.
Just, you say it like that in June. It's what?
Yeah. It's not very good. And I know we got Lee that had a question, but I didn't want to kind of get by this defensive end position.
No, this is your place. You're
the
guy.
Without talking about Derek Harvey, who I think Derek Harvey is having a marvelous OTA offseason.
And what have you seen from him?
Great work ethic. That's number one. Joe Cullen, the new defensive line coach, this guy, but when he's on the field, you can certainly know that he's there. He is very loud. He is very demanding. He coaches the old school way. You know, you expect to see him. You know, when you hear him, you know, if you're not looking at him and you hear him and you go to turn your head, you expect to see a coach over there wearing the old bike coach's shorts and the old black Rydell shoes. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Vic.
Yeah, I wear them.
That's what you would expect to see when you look
shorts
over
you
towards
wear?
That.
No, 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 the black shoes.
But he's old school, and I like that. And Joe Cullen, the new defensive line coach, I think is doing a great job with a very young group and is demanding a lot. And I think it's benefiting Derek Harvey. I know it's going to benefit the big nose tackle who needs to lose a few pounds. We'll let him remain nameless.
Oh, you want me to say Terrence Knighton's name?
He dropped 15 pounds since minicamp.
I know. He's still got a little ways to go. But he's doing a great job, and Derek Harvey's working his rear end off. And Derek Harvey looks quicker than he ever has. So we'll see. Same thing with Larry Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. Looks like he's going to be a difference maker. You know, hey, Derek Harvey looks good. Looks quicker than he's ever been. But we'll see.
Remember the name? Komanyan Quay from South Dakota.
Number 98.
Via Liberia. This poor kid escaped Liberia at age 2 when they were having a civil war. I mean, they were cutting people's heads off. This is the classic example of you find football players where you find football players. Sometimes you get them from Liberia via South Dakota. That's, you know, usually that's not a pipeline. You know, I don't know that South Dakota, the University of South Dakota, has ever had a Liberian pipeline. So, I mean, you find them where you find them. Coquay, number 98. Is really a good-looking, undrafted, one technique.
Yeah, he's a nose tackle.
Nose tackle-type defensive tackle. He'll back up Terrence Knighton. Watch this guy, and he's natural, folks. I mean, this isn't a Brian Cushing.
Yeah,
this is a natural guy.
Very difficult. I mean, for me, it's hard to look at a nose tackle in a practice and really kind of to really gauge him. Because, I mean, a nose tackle.
I know.
You really got to have the pads on. A defensive end, you can see the athleticism, the quickness, mm-hmm. the technique. You can see a little bit of the strength. But, you know, in practice with no pads, a nose tackle, very hard to evaluate. So I'm kind of a wait-and-see approach on him.
But you would agree that for a nose tackle type player, low and quick are good characteristics.
Low, quick, and strong are
That's
all
right.
very good.
That's what this kid is. Mm-hmm.
Let's at least grab Lee since you mentioned him before we break. Hey, Lee, what's going on tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. Have a question and a suggestion. The question really has been already started. Derek Harvey and his loss of weight and how you see that is affecting his potential. But the suggestion is to have Mrs. Weaver on and talk a little bit about her philanthropic approach to life and her foundation, and in particular the Honor Rose, which, not to be redundant, I had the honor of helping her with as a volunteer and taking some photographs, et cetera. But it's a terrific program. She is an incredible lady, as is Mr. Weaver, is an incredible man. But what they have done for this city and you know, the Honor Rose is something I was a part of, and it's terrific. So I'd suggest ask her if she might come on. And if you want to talk about Derek Harvey and the weight loss, I'd appreciate it.
All right, well, as far as Derek Harvey goes, how will the weight loss affect him? I think it all depends on the style of defense that they're going to play, and I think that this is going to be an up-the-field, you know, hard-charging defensive front going forward. I think bigger defensive ends work when you're really not trying to penetrate. So from what I can tell, they want lighter, leaner, quicker up front.
Well, you pulled a wait and see on my guy, and I'm going to pull a wait and see on your guy.
Okay. Well, no, I'm in the same mode. Okay. Same thing. I'm a wait and see on Derek Harvey too.
Okay.
You know, but I can't say how it's going to turn out. I can just tell you that he has never looked better.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. More to come after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Hey, folks, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com where you can sign up for the Jaguars Got Skills Rookie Day, sponsored by RPM Automotive and Sargento. Friends at RPM Automotive will be doing free AC Delco 40-point inspections on cars and trucks from 8 till 11 that morning during the event. It's the Jaguars.com Got Skills Rookie Day at the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. I just gave you sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really the Jaguars.com Got Skills Rookie Day, but you just got it.
Good.
Whatever I can do to help you out.
Absolutely.
355-NFL-1 and sponsored by Sargento.
And RPM Automotive.
And RPM Automotive.
They're doing free 40-point inspections.
Okay, hold on a sec. Put Jack back on hold. Sorry, you have something else to say?
No, I think it's pretty cool. You can get your car inspected at the Got Skills Rookie Contest.
Do you remember...
He's like a player now. It's free. It's for me. He'll be here with both his cars that morning.
You know what inspected. I don't miss the most about living in Pittsburgh is we had twice a year we had to have those. Oh, I hated those car inspections.
Oh, in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
the emissions reports.
No. They checked everything. They checked
Nazis.
The tires, the mufflers.
I've been failed because I didn't have the entire car.
Well, if you had too much rust on it.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
I had
if
a piece,
your car is rusted
just a piece
out.
Of, yeah, I had just a piece of the quarter panel. It was rusted out. But I'm going to look at your car. They pull it in. Get it out of here. Didn't care. Get it out.
So
had to go have body work done.
So what, do they take away your driver's license?
Yeah, they won't get an inspection sticker, so you can't drive
it. And it's right there in a corner.
I hated that.
If you don't have that sticker, they pull you over.
I can't tell many times I begged the guy. Hey, come on, you know? I'll have it fixed the next time.
You got to beg him with Grant and...
Luca Brasi?
Yeah. This is the last time I'm doing this, no? You did this to me the last time. Get this damn car fixed, or the next time, it's gone. We don't have that in Florida. It's great. You can drive any piece of junk you want around here.
Let's go to James in Mayport on those words. Hello, James. How are you tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Jeff, Vic, I have been fans for many, 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 many years.
Good to hear from you.
But I got a question about what do you do with two big old roughnecks on the field getting to a fight at practice? Now, I work with a bunch of roughnecks. I'm in construction. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, it happens, but how stupid do you got to be to take your fist and punch a man in the head with a helmet on?
It lasted 2 seconds.
Well,
I don't know.
There was one helmet that did come off. It was very brief, but that's a lot of muscle.
Yeah, I know it was.
You know what? One of the things it bothers me that this 2 second one punch fight on the last play of OTA's practice on Monday, I think it was, is probably the number one sports story of the week in Jacksonville. That's not good. We need more excitement than that. I mean, you know, these OTA practices are actually, they're the headline event at this time of the year.
When's
here.
The Kingfish tournament start?
Yeah.
This weekend.
There you go. It'll take a little of the heat off.
Well, there was one last week, but one of the bigger ones is this weekend. Yeah, it did take a little. Anyway, James had another question.
This is a terrible time of the year.
It was a good story, though. Everybody loves a fight with pro football players.
But that fight wasn't.
But it was Paul McQuiston and Walter Curry. I mean, they're long shots to make the team. Ass. And I mean, it's got an unbelievable play. It got unbelievable publicity.
It got more play than 2 summers ago when Mo Williams and John Henderson went at it.
That was scary.
That was a big-time fight in an evening practice. That one was chilling.
That was scary because one of the involved parties is crazy.
Mo, there's nothing wrong with Mo.
Nothing wrong with Mo. All right, James, you had another question, James.
Hey, Jeff, one kind of comment. I just got back from Mississippi, right, on the road.
Yeah.
And we had some guys. We're like, hey, man, you want to go noodling? I was like, what in the world is noodling? They took me out to this creek, stuck my arm up in the corner to catch a catfish. Yeah. Hey, these boys are crazy, dude. I'll save that for your Saturday or Sunday show. It is funny, dude.
Thanks, James.
I saw that on TV.
They take Vic noodling.
Oh, no. Vic don't do no noodling. No, I saw that on TV. They reach down and they grab these enormous fish.
Oh, no, they don't grab them. The fish grabs them.
What?
They stick their hand into like a hollowed out log or PVC pipe that they've strategically placed, and the catfish literally clamps down on their arm.
Is there any chance that's what's eating the foundation of my home?
No. Definitely not a catfish.
I've got these two enormous holes along the sides of my house. Real quick.
You're not going to sell this house anytime soon, are you? I would advise you to stop talking right now.
Yeah. Well, I've been told that it's something called a gopher turtle. And they're on the
tortoise.
Tortoise. Yeah. And they're on the endangered list.
Yeah. Kind of looks like
a
gopher.
Find them, they're endangered.
Well, and someone said, well, put stones there. Well, I don't want to kill the whole family of gopher turtles. You know, honestly, I don't want to wall them in like a Montelotto. You know what I mean? The cask of a Montelotto, and next thing you know, I got the police coming to my house because there's dead gopher turtles all over the place.
Tortoises.
I would like them to stop drilling these enormous holes as though they were BP.
Okay.
On that note.
We got time for Jack.
Do we have time for
Jack?
Yeah,
we got time
Jack,
for Jack.
Jack, you got to be quick, big boy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I heard what you were talking about, the Weavers, and I agree with you. They're wonderful people. Jeff, you got the patience of Joel working with these fellas, really. You do.
Thank you. I do have to have a lot of patience with
you. You do. And, you know, this is really directed more with Jeff, because Jeff and I have been right around this since the beginning, since the Houston Oilers game, pretty much. And Jeff, you know, I think that, and I don't know where it lays, but I think that we've made some bad decisions in upper management and coaching. I believe that the way that we did Mark, Jeff, was probably not good. You know, Mark was one of our greatest heroes and always will be. And there were some other guys on our team that were real heroes. And you know, Jeff, they played hurt, broken, and it just seems like as a team, we have been more than willing to get rid of some of the greatest players we've ever had when they've hit a little bit of a hard time. And I know it kind of broke my heart when Mark left here. Mark went on to do a darn good job for another team. And I just wondered if you feel like I do, that in the past, and I know the past is the past, but in the past, there could have been some more better decisions made about some of our great guys that
Jack,
have played for.
Jack, let me start by talking about Mark. I think the way that the team dealt Mark, I'm okay with that. They were ready to move on. And you know what? Mark did very well since he left here.
Mm-hmm.
And good for him. And as far as some of the other players, I can't think of any of them that weren't handled the way they should be.
It's too bad we ran out of time.
Unfortunately, people get old.
He made it sound like he was a relative of yours.
Yeah, Jack. Sorry we couldn't get to it more, but you know, call back next week. We'll talk about it because I know Vic's got some thoughts on that. He thinks everybody gets old as soon as they hit the age of 26.
Except me.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.